Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, today is Tell Del, and normally on this show, we'll bring in somebody that you can relate to. Today, I'm going to bring in somebody that not very many of you can relate to because of how much he's accomplished in his life at a very young age. Just if I throw this out at you and you listen carefully to what I'm saying, this is going to be one of the, I would say, the top 10 most interesting stories of Lifestyles, of their members and so forth. But what we have here is a young gentleman that started in his either late teens or early 20s. Went to his dad. His dad said, do you want to go to college or do you want to start your own business? He said he wanted to start his own business. He said, what do you want to do? He goes, well, they looked around and said, let's do real estate. And so his dad took him out there, got him invested in Lifestyles. He learned how to do houses. Then he learned how to do a small apartment complex. Then he became a syndicator. And he currently has over 1,600 units, seven apartment complexes. But what's more interesting than that, and that is very interesting, that's quite an accomplishment to say the least, is that 17 years later, he's still blowing and going, hasn't slowed down, high quality, high ethics, all the things that he had when he was young. And I think it's interesting because people go out there and they lose their head of steam many times. This gentleman's gotten married, has kids, built a business, and still has a massive head of steam. He's given back. He has all kinds of work out there with charities. He's won in the apartment association industry, which is Houston Apartment Association, Texas, and National Apartment Association, over 30 awards with his group. And not only that, he's nine-time winner of the Houston Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. Now, I don't know who you go to get in that award, but whatever it is, he's won it nine times. He's only been doing this for 17 years, so that's quite a feat. I'm very happy to share with you today one of the people I believe is one of the brightest people at Lifestyles Unlimited, and hopefully my friend, John Boriak. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dale. I'm pumped to be here.
Man, it's been a long time. I don't know how many times we have you in, but every time it's worth it. But I have to ask you to start with your story, just for those young kids out there and parents that have young kids that are 18 years of age, trying to decide what they're going to do with their life. And you made the decision to put off college to go into business. I know you later came back and got some college, got a college degree, but let's go through the earlier years first in the first segment here so the young kids can grow from, learn from your experience, please.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was blessed with awesome parents, a lot of insight, and very comfortable being thinking outside the box and doing things a little bit differently. And so when I graduated high school, after being homeschooled all the way through high school, they presented the option of using the college money to start a business with, like you said, instead of going the typical, you know, four-year brick-and-mortar college route. And that sounded really interesting to me. We kind of, found Lifestyles through a mutual connection. And Lifestyles really provided the baseline education, the guardrails, if you will, to go down the freeway and and not have to learn everything from the ground up or by mistakes. And I was so just welcomed into the group, and so many experienced members there took me under their wing and were mentors to me and helped me as I was getting started with all the beginner questions and advanced questions that came up.
I don't think people can actually understand. We have rooms full of grown men and women running businesses, and this young kid, you were young, and you looked young. You even look young now, but you looked really young. And you'd come in your little suit and give your little talk or whatever, and it was amazing that people gravitated to you and took you under their wing.
Yeah, it was amazing to me as well. And my dad always talked about how I was naive enough to do just about everything they said. And so when you follow a mentor's advice, they want to give you more advice. And so I would every day learn in an apartment or rent in a house, something like that. a question would come up, and I'd call, you know, one of five or six people that I really respected in the group, and, oh my gosh, what I do with this situation? I got to, you know, hire somebody or fire somebody or lease this thing, or I need a vendor for this. What do we do? And they'd tell me what to do, and I would blindly go do exactly whatever they said. And so, and then I'd come back the next day with the same thing for, you know, for 4 years, 4 or 5 years learning the business, and just could not have even begun to have accomplished what I've accomplished without all that help early on.
It's an amazing thing. So let's go through the purchase options that you and your father chose to go through to get you started.
Yeah, so we started in single family, you know, just wanted to kind of get our feet wet, try out the industry as a whole. And I think we got 7 or 8 single family homes in the first year or two. And I was, you know, very, very involved with getting those renovated and leased out and managing the renters, kind of learning that side of the business. And after about a year, year and a half, we decided like, hey, this is going pretty well, and I think I want to try to make a career out of this. And so we decided to move into multifamily. So we bought a small 50-unit apartment complex for pretty cheap in the southwest side of Houston. And I got to learn the multifamily side of the business really from the ground up. You know, I was building accounting systems, building management softwares, hiring people, doing a lot of the work myself, which is not something that every real estate owner needs to do. That I just needed to learn the business as a 20-year-old and get my feet wet. So I was down there managing that property most every day for 3 or 4 years. But as I came to Lifestyles and learned all the education that was offered and talked to all the other members there about their best practices, I had a property where I could immediately turn around and go implement what I learned, which was really powerful to speed up that learning process. So I spent about 4 years running that 50-unit, getting the college degree at night, do a lot of online distance learning and studying.
This is important. You bought your first apartment in what I would consider probably in your era, the toughest market you could have possibly purchased it in. So you had to operate yourself through that whole period, and you came out the other side. And I think you told me a long time ago that you just broke even or made only a little bit of money. Tell us how you did. And how did you get through that when everything else was crashing around you?
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, I don't think we could have timed the market more poorly. And that's really a testament to the survivability, how flexible and how forgiving, that's what I was looking for, how forgiving the real estate can be. And that time the market as about as poorly as you could time it. Had a 20-year-old in there running the thing with no experience, but, you know, worked my butt off and showed up every day and talked to a lot of people, got a lot of help. And I'm not going to lie, it was hard. Like, that was some dark times in the real estate industry. And, you know, our rents were like $400 or $500, and I was struggling getting those. And so we bought it and the bottom fell out of the market. I bet a year and a half after we bought it, the property is probably worth half of what we paid, if I had to guess. And so we kept trudging along. You know, I made probably 12 or 13 grand a year for 4 years running that property. But we stayed cash flow positive barely the whole time. And it kind of gave me that college education, if you will, or not college, the real life education on the apartment industry that was so beneficial and has yielded so much fruit down the road.
Moving on from there, John, the next deal that you picked, the Winfern Point property, I think that next one was a home run, was it not?
Yeah, we kind of couldn't have timed the market more poorly on that first one, and this one we kind of couldn't have timed it better. That one's been a completely different story. And it was the first syndicated deal. So we scraped together, you know, about 12 different families gave us the money to buy that deal. And it's been awesome. That one, you know, it's 200 units. So very different operating style than the 50 unit. You can, you know, that one you can afford real softwares and real staff and sophisticated systems. And you have a little more economies of scale that make it honestly much easier to run than the smaller one. And only 50 units, but yeah, we bought that one in 2012, and it's been a home run out the gate. We've refinanced it a couple times, not taking a ton of cash out, but taking some out. But we purchased that one in 2012 for a little bit under $7 million, and it has been a blessing for sure to run that one. It's probably worth north of $21 million now.
Wow. That's an amazing thing. I remember back when you did this, we were talking stories about how much your dad had put in and made money out. And I know you guys are a private family. You're a private guy. But if at all possible, just share with us, just, you know, your dad is backing you in this thing. Instead of taking, he's taking your college funds and putting it in there. And I remember you were able to tell us at that time what it was. So I'm hoping that at this time you're willing to share just on this deal. You know, you told us how much you made. I mean, you've made $5 million on this thing. That's unbelievable. Wait, I'm sorry, 12 to 21, $8-9 million on this thing. Your dad put in how much? How much did he make on this thing?
We used the college funds starting out, but the arrangement from the beginning was, you know, he put up the money at the beginning. I did, you know, not all the work, but most of the work, put in the grunt work. And then whenever we sold properties or anything like that, he got the initial money back, and whatever was left over, we split.
The twist on the story is, hey, guys, you know, you spend $200,000, send your kid to college, and you'll never see that money ever again, and they won't pay you back. You know, I think everybody goes to college, they have to pay their parents back. Nobody likes to hear that, do they? But the bottom line is, in this particular deal, you invested into your future and you paid him back. And at the beginning, it was over double, just in the beginning. And that, now you've gone so much further with that particular deal. But that's a great story in and of itself, that there's where a young man becomes a man and creates his first successful business. From that point forward, when did you get married in this situation? Just so we can put that inside of there, too. I mean, you met your wife.
That's another funny story. Yeah, I met my wife at a wedding, and we got to talking, and turned out she and her father were already members of Lifestyles even before we met, and so we were able to hit it off from there. And we started dating, and I think we got married a couple years after we first met, but we got married, I think it was about 1 week after I closed on the Winfern Point deal, that first 200-unit deal. So we closed on this property. I kind of got the staff in place and left for a honeymoon for a week, and then hoped things would hold together, and they did just fine. But yeah, so we got married right about the same time that we bought that first 200-unit deal.
Wow. It was fun to watch your life blossom right in front of us. You know, I think everybody at Lifestyles kind of looked at you like you were the golden child, and we're all raising you together. Not to take anything away from your fantastic parents. That's not what I'm saying. We all just watched and said, man, bam, we wish our kids would do this, you know, something like this. So it's a great thing. Let's go on to the second segment of your life here. And that's when you started buying a few more apartment complexes. Share with us the mentality of your growth. How did you time your growth? What were the parameters of your growth? How did you pick which projects you wanted to take and which ones you didn't?
Yeah, that's always kind of the magic potion there. And in growing up around or in Lifestyles, you see plenty of people who I think probably grow too fast, and they kind of get out over their skis, and things start falling apart. And then I've seen other people that I feel like are too conservative and grow too slowly, or don't grow at all, or, you know, get stagnant. And so trying to find kind of the middle balance between those two examples that I've seen has been the tricky piece that I've tried to balance. But, you know, what's worked well for me is trying to buy a deal every 12 to 24 months, every year to two. I'll buy a deal, and I want to get in there and renovate it, put my team in place, get our systems rolling, put a bow on it, get it cash flowing, and then move on to the next one from there. You know, there's some people that don't, you know, buy a deal every 5 years, and there's some people that buy five deals a year, and I don't want to be either one of those. I think, you know, there's faults to be had there. There's people that have been very successful in both of those, so I'm not knocking that at all. But the heartbeat of our organization that we found a lot of success in is being very picky, try to do, you know, fewer home runs than just a lot of base hits. And, every you know, year or two, putting a deal together and making sure that we go all in on it. You know, I heavily invest in every one of the deals along with my investors, and making sure that it is, each one is we're doing the best we can with what we've been given there.
Involvement that you have with your properties, I don't see how people can actually be involved with seven different properties at the same time. So how do you spread that involvement out?
That's a great question. I will tell you, it would not be beneficial for me to be heavily involved in any of the properties to an extreme degree, because that's not my skill set. I don't do super well with the detailed minutia work. I can do it for a short stint if I need to, but my skill set and my expertise is way more in the bigger picture strategy, vision setting. What can we turn this thing into? What people do we need to put in place to make it successful, and then let those people do their jobs and empower them to be their best selves and run the day-to-day.
All right, great. Well, then we're going to do what I need to do, which is go to break. And when we come back, we'll have John Boryak from Tomball, Texas, and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward, and y'all have everything provided. I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John Boryak out of Tomball, Texas. If you're just tuning in, John owns 7 apartment complexes, over 1,600 units, won over 30 awards for the apartment associations all over the country, and he's just one heck of a superstar. He was talking about, when we went to break, how does he manage 7 different apartment complexes, and his answer is he doesn't. And that is a lead-in, John, into the next segment, which is, hey, running a business, a real business, comes down to your team, your staff, your employees, whatever you want to call them. Everybody has different names for them, to be politically correct, I guess, in this day and age. But the bottom line is, it's your team. And you have developed a great team, and that is what allowed you to not only buy apartment complexes, but to maintain them and to grow them through up and down environments. Tell us how you did that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's anything to be said true there. It's real estate as a team sport. And there's no way that you can scale and grow without having people that you trust and then will do a good job. And I think trust is a huge piece of that, you know, empowering people to do their jobs well, giving them the tools and resources they need is really important. I see a lot of small business owners in general, real estate and other industries, have a really hard time delegating and trusting. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have proper precautions in place, but you've got to see it as we are I may be the quarterback, but we are a team here, and everyone has to do their job, and I have to trust them to do their job and let them do their job, even if they want to do it in a slightly different way than I would do it. But I paint the finish line and what the goal is, and I try my best to let people run to the finish line in whatever direction they do best. I would say that, you know, I would rather have a less than perfect plan that someone really believes in than the perfect plan that someone's not bought into. And so I try to not get really too far into the nitty gritty of the how of the processes. I may set some things up and ask to use some certain high-level methods and strategies to accomplish goals. But I really try to lean on the staff, that the team that's actually doing the work, to make as many decisions as possible and provide that insight that they're going to be better at it than I am anyways. And then when we do, you know, have a win, when we achieve successes, when we reach finish lines and goals of different kinds, try really hard to make everyone feel like they're rewarded as well, and let them share in a piece of the pie. That may look like different bonus structures, profit sharing, time off, flexibilities, those kinds of things, but make it where we're not all doing this for John. We're doing this for the team as a whole, and everyone should enjoy the fruit whenever the tree prospers and the tree produces fruit, the tree grows. And then, yeah, there's so many different pieces of this that, weren't far too much to cover in a show. But another piece is always making sure you see people as people who have lives and families and kids and exist outside of work. And so we have, our HR structures and policies in place, but we're real quick to be flexible when someone has a crisis and someone has a special situation come up, especially if it's their kids involved. When there's a team member that is going through some kind of emergency, some kind of crisis, that is a really golden opportunity as their employer to be able to step into that crisis with them and help them solve or resolve that crisis. And they're going to remember that, and that's going to breed a lot of loyalty when they feel seen and heard and cared for beyond just the widgets they make or the leases they sign. And so that's a couple high level tidbits of some of the cornerstones of our culture and our structure we built. But it's been a long time coming, a long time built, a lot of help from a lot of people, a lot of books, and a lot of trial and error. And I've made plenty of mistakes along the way, but man, God's blessed us with an incredible team who is very passionate, very dedicated. And we're still today learning how to best work with each other and support each other and what pieces we need to bring in and to make it even stronger and set us up for another 15 years of success.
That you ended with what I was going to ask you next. So it's interesting. I'm trying to think how to ask this question because it's something could be dangerous. All right, there are guys out there that they make their business by stealing other people's employees, hiring them away. You go out, and this industry is one of the most incestuous industries I've ever seen in my life, because everybody knows everybody. They all meet at the apartment associations, and they swap stories and they swap people and they whatever they do. But the bottom line is, what I wanted to ask you is, do you hire into your team, or does everybody grow from the bottom? And before you answer that question, the way you've grown your business is a two-edged sword. Remember, I've been doing this for 34 years. I've got 50,000 clients, and I've seen them all go through this. Well, not all the ones that tried to grow like you've tried to grow. And some people try to do it by just hiring more and more expensive, already successful in the industry people into their team and get a massively heavy payroll. You've got enough properties. You could literally train people, promote people from within.
We overwhelming majority of our hires come from internal referrals, and so many of our promotions that are a leadership role of some kind come from people being promoted from within the company up. So we definitely hire from within or promote from within first before seeking to hire from without, if that makes sense.
John, what is the future first? Then let's blend that into how do you give back?
As far as the business goals go, I hope to be able to grow to about double the size we are now, maybe not quite double, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 units is where I'm going to say is our finish line. And not that we'll be done, but we'll just buy and sell properties to maintain that size, that 2,500 unit to 3,000 unit-ish size. At that level, I think we can retain a lot of the key core values we have and make Veritas, which is the name of our company, special, without having to scale so massively that we lose touch with what really made us special in the beginning.
Did you come up with that number by talking to other successful guys that you met at the Apartment Association and elsewhere?
Yeah, and really talking to multi-generational apartment owners that I've met through the Apartment Association, which I was president of in 2021. So I got access to a lot of these people who have been in this business since the 80s. They're talking about their fathers built properties in Houston, and they've owned, 10,000 units and 1,000 units and everything in between. And they kind of have all mentored to say, to tell me, somewhere in that 2,000 to 3,000 range is a really special place where it's a lot of fun. You can still do big company events and really pour into people, but you just still know everyone's names, and you can still, have the intimate family company feeling without, sacrificing that for size. And so I live in Houston. I don't really want to buy outside of Houston, not because there aren't great opportunities out there. I just don't want to have to travel for work or make my team travel for work. I really value the family time that we're able to have. And, my kids are 10, 7, and 5 years old, and I'm not going to miss this window where I get to have be such a big piece of their lives, and I want to make sure I don't, sacrifice that. And so, trying to grow to somewhere in that 2,000 to 3,000 unit range and be able to do that really, really well is the goal from the business standpoint. And then on a kind of parallel track, we actually just this year formed an in-house nonprofit organization called Veritas Impact, or VEM Impact. And that's going to really formalize and take to the next level a lot of give back that we're already doing in different smaller pieces throughout the company, and try to centralize that and make it bigger and better. And so this nonprofit will work towards being able to just generally improve the lives of the more vulnerable people that live in our apartment communities. And so things like running after-school kids programs, when kids get home from school, maybe both parents are still working, we don't want them to go home to an empty, dark apartment. Let's go to the community center, and we'll have a snack and some curriculum and be able to have some games and really plug into those kids there, have homework help and tutoring. We've done computer training classes for our residents that maybe aren't as familiar with technology. We've provided summer meals and lunches and soccer programs, and partnered with churches coming out and doing VBS programs or things like that on site. We've partnered with the Harris County Medical Services to come do health clinics on site at our properties. Lots of disaster relief, whatever there's any kind of like a hurricane or a fire or something, or if an individual resident might have a personal crisis, be able to step into that space and solve some of those big issues for them and be with them in that time of crisis is really super rewarding. And it really gives our staff that level of feeling like we are in it for everyone that touches our company to win: the investors, the employees, the residents that live on site. Everyone should be better off because of the interaction they've had with our company. And so it's really exciting for me to formalize and launch this official nonprofit this year. I'm literally like just got the paperwork back just a month or so ago. And so we're going to really work on starting with doing some fundraising to expand our facilities to be able to host more of these kids club programs, and then going into the future, be able to do more, bigger, better of these types of things that genuinely improve the lives of the residents who choose to live in our communities, trying to do so much more than just provide a roof over their head, although that is supremely important, and we want to do that well and do that first. But then be able to, take my wife and I take some of the money we're making from the business and from the properties and pour that back into this nonprofit that then goes back on site and improves the residents' lives in a more holistic sense.
What's the future as far as yourself and family and so forth? Are you going to travel? Are you going to, where do you flip the switch and go, okay, I've got to spend a little more time with the family now? I know you just said you would, but what kind of things would that turn into? Is there ever a time where it can become more family oriented or not? Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. And I feel like I've done made that a priority already in recognizing that, like I said, my kids are 10, 7, and 5. I'm in the sweet spot right now where they want nothing more than to hang out with dad and play Legos on the floor or wrestle or watch a movie or whatever. And so I'm working really hard to prioritize that now and not, wait till they get to be in high school or older, and then I wish I could go back and do that then. So, we do breakfast time, morning time together as a family. Usually when they get back from school in the afternoons, I'm plugged in and engaged at that point. I try to keep my business travel to a minimum and do my best to prioritize the family culture and my kids right now.
And there we go. Full circle back to what's most important in life. John, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And as always, the rest of you out there, remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.